Truly, we give honor on this morning to our Lord, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, to our pastor, Pastor Jemerson, to this choir. Amen. And to all of you, my father's children. A text this morning comes to us from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter number 2. A few of the verses are printed in the teller, but if you don't mind, I would ask if you have a Bible to turn to that second chapter of Luke. There are a few more verses we ought to take note of as we enter into the message. Luke chapter 2. And I would like for us to begin reading at verse 41. It says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them." Amen. Amen, amen. A simple subject, kingdom business. Didn't you know I must be about my father's business? Asked the young Jesus. Commentators vary as to the most accurate interpretation of these words, father's business. Perhaps your translation reads something like, didn't you know I would be in my father's house? Matthew Henry writes that it may be interpreted as my father's work. But one of my favorite commentators, Matthew Poole, says it should read as it is in the King James Version, business. Now, before we attempt to draw our own conclusions, let's look at the text further. In verse 50, the Bible says that his parents did not understand the words he spoke. The Greek will give us some help. That word understand, the Greek paints a picture of not being able to put it together. It didn't add up. What they thought about Jesus did not fit with what he just said to them. What did he just say? I'm about my father's business. And these words did not line up with what Mary and Joseph thought about Jesus. It's right there in the Bible. They did not understand. Now then, what was this business? Well, the text tells us that when Mary and Joseph found him, Jesus was in the temple, sitting among the teachers, hearing and asking questions. In other words, he was engaged in dialogue with these teachers, and his conversation was on their level. And then Jesus refers to this dialogue, this conversation, as my Father's business. Maybe this is what tripped up his parents. In fact, the text tells us that his audience, these teachers in the temple, they were astonished and amazed at his answers. Why? Because he's 12 years old. And in the temple, 12-year-olds don't assume this position, this posture. Now, I don't know the exact nature of the conversation, the specific topics involved. I don't know what these teachers thought about Jesus after this episode. But what becomes clear to me is this: Jesus was not so much concerned about temple business. He was 100% concerned about his Father's business, God's business. I call it kingdom business. We're about to get our first point today. I have come to believe, mostly because I've seen it, that people, and by people, I mean church folk right through here, church folk are tripped up, become confused, even become nasty when it starts to become evident to them that church business and kingdom business are two different things. Okay, now it must be stated from the outset, because this will help us in our overall understanding. Maybe help somebody finally make a real decision. Maybe help somebody look at this thing a little differently before you make a mess. It must be stated from the outset that church business and kingdom business are two different things, but they're not supposed to be. They're supposed to be the same thing. But in the day and age in which we live, too often they're two different things. Well, amen. I know I'm right about it. You'll get all kind of folk to pay $15, $20, $25 to attend an evangelism conference and get a pretty binder and a free lunch. But they won't have the time, nor the inclination, nor the mind, nor the heart, nor the burden to spend 5 minutes sharing with someone who is lost, hungry, or hurt. Know all about church business, but confused about kingdom business. And this is nothing new. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 25. There's going to be a whole lot of folk who will stand before the king with their resume of Christian activities. But the king will say, but you didn't feed the hungry, you didn't serve the poor, you didn't minister to the sick, you shunned the immigrant. That's another piece of kingdom business that too many church folk are confused about, but it's in the word. Know all about church business, but confused when it comes to kingdom business. Amen. Am I talking right here? Amen. I'm going to keep going. I just need to know whether I should. I'm going to keep going. I just need to know whether I should be updating my resume this evening. If church business and kingdom business are not the same, the question that first needs to be asked is how come? Why are they different in this church age? From what we've seen in the word so far, it is quite evident that the king intended that church business and kingdom business be the same. So why isn't that the case? Well, it certainly cannot be blamed on the world. And I say that because I listen to church folk, and sometimes it's as if we've given up. The world is too strong. The world has taken over our families. The world has taken over our kids. The world has taken over our neighborhoods. But I hear Jesus in John chapter 16, verse 33, encouraging us. He says, the world is going to give you trouble. He says, but don't you worry about the world. Because I have overcome. I have conquered the world. I already victorious over the world. So it's not the world. It's not that the world is taken over. But while we were busy collecting binders and eating free club sandwiches, the world was doing a better job persuading people that its way is best. While we were so busy trying to out-preach each other and out-sing each other and out-pray each other and out-dress each other, the world was taking care of its business. While we were too busy being important and being recognized and being right, the world was spreading its fake ideas about love and compassion, and we started to imitate it. Oh, I know I'm right about it. The church brand, the Sunday morning show, the idea that favor is for sale, the preacher who spends more time creating catchy titles and coordinating his outfits than rightly dividing the word of God, the choirs and singers who have allowed praise and worship to be substituted with a form of glorified karaoke because the motivation is attention for themselves. No, it's not the world who is to blame. It's the church who has separated church business from kingdom business. Amen. Do I need to find my resume yet? Now this is what I know, because I know church folk. This is what I know. Someone right now is thinking, he's not talking about me. I'm not like that. I don't like all that showy stuff either. I'm not out to garner a lot of attention. But you see, the condition can be the same, but the symptoms are less obvious. But as long as there are lost, hungry, and hurt being neglected, we're just as guilty. I may have shared this before, but if so, it's worth sharing again. Our family moved here from a small community in Robertson County, Tennessee. Yet even in a small setting like that, there was an area that the sheriff told me was drug central. And I'm sure you can picture the area. Low income, broken families, troubled youth. You know what it looks like. Lost, hungry, and hurt. Now, if you stood in the middle of drug central and threw a rock in any direction, you would hit a church. And if you were to ask anyone at any of those churches, how is your church? You would get answers like, well, the Lord is really blessing and we're on the move and you know how we do. But yet the condition of the neighbors is not changing, not transforming. It is my belief that when we church folk evaluate church, we're focusing on church business. But what has the attention of the king is kingdom business. Now, here is where many church folks separate the two. They listen to the subtle whisper that says, those lost, hungry, and hurt folk, that's not our problem. I know I'm right about it. Think back to the parable of the Good Samaritan when Jesus paints a picture of church business walking right past kingdom business. Not my problem. Amen. It's quiet. I feel like I'm struggling to make this thing clear. But if I keep going, we ought to get there. The church today is creating projects and programs under the guise of ministry. But too often, what is taking place is that I can do good work, but without getting dirty. People are making millions of dollars starting some kind of business, but because they slap a verse of scripture on a business card, they call it a ministry. But if it is not impacting the lost, the hungry, and the hurt in a transformative way that it leads them to be saved, fulfilled, and delivered, it's just church business. But if you want to know what kingdom business looks like, all you got to do is look at the king. And the king came down. The Bible says he dwelt among us. The king touched the unclean. The king broke bread with the ostracized. The king got involved with the outcast. And the king went to the well. The king went to the cemetery. The king went to the house of the sinner, sat at the dinner table, and saved them. Church business sends out glossy postcards. And look, those can be useful tools. But they were never meant to become substitutes for good old-fashioned outreach. Starting and building relationships that impact and transform. And it is not somebody else's problem or task. It is for us to do. Look at the text. Jesus says in verse 49, I must be about my Father's business. See, speaking personally, that's what motivates me. That's what moves me. I'm about kingdom business. I decided a long time ago, let folk talk about what they want to talk about. Let other folk can carry on in their agendas. I'm about kingdom business. If I just wanted a title and standing in the community, I could have had that. In fact, I did have that. But I'm about kingdom business. And now I'm talking to all of us. If we are children of the king, then we are to be about kingdom business. Seeking out the lost, hungry, and hurt, and pouring ourselves into them with the understanding that it will cost us greatly. We will suffer loss and get hurt ourselves. We'll miss out on what we're trying to secure for somebody else. But the king has declared, you know what I'm paying attention to? Not how you carry on in church, but what are you doing with the least? The least in significance, the least in resources, the least in rank. That's kingdom business. And it's not up to anybody else, but it's up to us. Amen. Amen. I kind of figured it was going to get quiet right through there. Well, for those who take notes, and you need some points to write down, we've said, first of all, that we church folk are responsible for separating church business from kingdom business. Then we said that we must acknowledge, a better word would be confess, that God the King has made it clear to us what he expects from us. And it's not how we carry on when we get here, but how we carry on when we leave here. Yeah. Amen. Which leads to this third point, and I'm going to be through. And we made mention of it from the beginning. Church business and kingdom business may be two different things, but they're not supposed to be. And perhaps the biggest reason they're two different things is because too many church folk live two different lives. And I don't mean what people do necessarily. I mean, all of us have a past that influences how we deal with the present. And different people judge those actions differently. In other words, what one person might frown on, another person says, no big deal. A lot of church folk watch Scandal and Empire. Amen. Some people have a problem with that. Others don't. Amen. I ain't talking about that. In fact, a lot of those folk who only watch Trinity Broadcasting and the Word Network are the same folk who keep walking by the lost, hungry, and hurt as if they don't exist. And if they ever do notice them, it's not their problem. But this is what I'm getting to, because I've always contended that if you want to know what a person is for real, it's not what they've done, but what is it that they chase? Amen. You know, some, you know, holy, pious deacon will stand up and say, "I don't chase skirts no more." Well, he old. He can't chase them no more. Amen. He ain't all of a sudden got all righteous. He just got slow. So it's not what you've done. It's what are you after? What do you want? Too many church folk are living two different lives. They show up at church, show up on programs, show up in meetings, but not chasing God's plan and purpose and will. So if a person asks me, "Reverend, don't you ever take a break from church business?" My response is, I don't ever take a break from kingdom business. It's just that I decided they're the same thing. You read it right there in the text. Jesus declares, "I must. There's nothing else I could do. There's nothing else I would do. This is who I am, so I must." I'm fixing to help somebody right here. When you finally figure out who you are, you won't be satisfied with being anything else. Oh, let me be a witness today. Some friends I had to leave alone, not because we fell out, but because they were no longer enough. Some situations I had to get out of, not because they weren't good, they just simply weren't enough. Some work I had to give up, not because it wasn't good work, it wasn't enough. Some goals I had to stop chasing, not because they weren't noble, they just weren't enough. I'm a child of the King, and the only thing that fills me, the only thing that satisfies me, is kingdom business. I heard Jesus say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." I heard Jesus say, "The one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back to what he left behind, he not fit for the kingdom of God." I heard Jesus say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I must be about my Father's business. Amen. Don't let me be like the rich man, eating sumptuously while the beggar dies. Don't let me be like the Pharisees, caught up in my performance at church while the people suffer. I'm thankful for my children, but somebody don't have a father. I'm thankful for my house, but somebody don't have a home. I'm thankful for how God has blessed me, but there's somebody out there who's frightened, who's discouraged, who's uncertain, who's just about to give up. Let me be the one who goes out into the highways and hedges telling somebody, "I know a man made the blind to see." Telling somebody, "I know a man made the lame to walk." "I know a man lifted up bowed down heads, called the dead into life." "I know a man," what they say, "got enough power in the hem of his garment to save the whole world." "I know a man came from heaven to earth, laid down his life on the cross of Calvary." "I know a man who died to pay for your sins, rose on Sunday morning so you can have victory." "I know a man, his name is Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." Let me be the one to be a witness, to testify that I know somebody who can help you, who can save anybody. And so when I start feeling like I'm doing more for these folk than they want to do for themselves, when I start feeling like I'm wasting my time on folk who won't ever get it, when I start feeling like I'd be doing better myself if I wasn't fooling with other folk, I remember the King is watching. The one who died for me when I didn't know no better. The one who sacrificed for me when I was the one acting a fool. The one who shed his own blood for me when I was unworthy. I remember the King is watching, and I'm a child of the King. And when I found out who I am, The only thing that satisfies me is kingdom business. Amen. 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 And God bless you. The choir is coming. Let us stand as our officers come. The invitation was brought out in the message. I know somebody. I know a man who can absolutely transform your whole life. Who knows exactly what you are, but he knows what you were meant to be. And if you would make the decision right now, I'm through living two different lives. It's all to Jesus I surrender. The doors of the church are open, and we invite you to come. Invitation is still extended. Oh, the doors stand open. Remember all of the announcements that were brought to our attention, and let us continue in prayer one for the other. Certainly, we're continuing in prayer for the family of Deacon Marshall. Those services are yet pending, but yet we are still praying. God, our Father, how we thank you today. Forgive us where we have come short. Forgive us where we've let others remain lost or hungry or hurt when we had the opportunity. And yet in asking for forgiveness, we can't help but say thank you for your grace. And thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for another chance, another opportunity. Thank you for continuing to convict us and confront us and to send us that we might be servants and witnesses in your holy kingdom. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling, to present us faultless before his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 God bless.